priests and the elders of the people, like us, knew who Jesus was talking about. The people who were invited to the feast were the Jews. And each time Jesus sent them servants, they mistreated them, killed them, until they killed the last of the servants, the prophet Jesus, the Son of God. And so the word then went out to go to the ends of the earth and to bring into the banquet hall whomever you find. And that's us. We are the Gentiles, the unclean, who have been invited to the banquet. And it goes on every day. As you know, I just returned from Brazil, Manaus, working with Father Martin Lohmann. You know him. Redemptorist priest turned diocesan, now living in Manaus, whom we met when he was at St. Alphonsus. And some of our parishioners have adopted his work and support him in wonderful ways. And it's an awesome thing to go to a third world country and to see the church filled with people praising God. Because the Word of God is carried out. We're people of the Word. When we hear the Word, we know it's true. When He said, the kingdom of God is like, that's what it's like. And the hall will be filled with guests. The first thing we did when we went down there was to check out the school. 3 years ago, the school was going to close because there were no more funds. It's a school for the jungle children who cannot go to the regular school because they don't know how to count. They don't know their alphabet. They don't even know colors. And so Father Martin says, I'll open a school to prepare the children for school. There's 500 children now. And when some of you went down there and saw that the school was being closed and how important it was, the school is now open because of the generosity of God's people. 500 children, 250 in the morning, 250 in the afternoon. And they're the most beautiful children. It's amazing. You think back just 200-300 years ago, the Portuguese coming, mingling with the Indians in Brazil and making a beautiful people, the Brazilians, and very, very intelligent. They had a science fair while we were there, and it could hold up to any science fair that we have here at St. Francis. It was absolutely beautiful. The children are intelligent, they're beautiful, they're clean. But then the next day, we were to go see their homes. One of the things that I was amazed about the invitation to their home was the fact that they'd let us come. These people live on the sewer, and the water is flowing underneath their houses, if you'd call that, made out of thin plywood, or where the wood is decayed and worn away because the humidity is astronomical. Everything is wet. Everything. From morning till night, it's hot, humid weather, 12 months out of the year. We were there when it was cool, and it was 95. And you just watch yourself. You automatically walk in the shade. The midday, I'm walking through the parking lot of the church. You walk on the edge of the church where there's a little bit of a shade, just enough to cover you. We went to their homes, and just a little cubicle would house parents just the size of this rug right here. 5, 6, 7 children. And that was everything. There was their living room, there was their dining room, that was their bedroom. It was everything. And the wall of one house would be the wall of the other house, where they'd add cardboard from one room to the other room. We ran into a little 4-year-old that looked like maybe she was not even a year. Her stomach extended. She was dying of malnutrition. And through an interpreter, we were told that they had run out of medicine and that she was dying. And of course, our people went to the pharmacy and got medicine that day and got it to her quickly. It's the most amazing thing to go into the third world. We know by our teaching and our instruction that We are the minority. The majority of the world lives without. We're one third of the world that has an abundance. And we know this, but yet to go and walk among them and to see them. The next day we went to the leper colony. Again, it's something that we know. But we also know that there's medicine for leprosy today. And these people are treated and given the medicine and there's improvement and they go home. They don't have money for the medicine. And so the leprosy comes back. It's an amazing thing to talk to somebody whose eyes have been eaten out, who has no nose, their fingers, their hands. And dove meat, the first thing, I know just a little bit of Spanish, and Portuguese is close to Spanish, so some of them understood what I was trying to say. And dove meat, I go to the first bed and I say, ¿Cómo está? How are you? What do you think? How am I? I got leprosy. But after the first bed, I asked the same question at every one of the patients, because the answer was, bene. I said, bene? ¿Cómo está bene? How can you be good? You've got leprosy. Usted tiene informe. And each one of them lifted their hand to God and said, gracias Dio. Thanks be to God. The faith of the people, while they go through this poverty and this sickness, they know the kingdom of God is theirs. And that faith of God comes into their heart. And with nothing, they can live. It's the Word of God that's opened up. That they can live in peace even though there's sickness and poverty. It used to be a tremendous metropolitan city. It's 1.5 million people. But that was during the industry of the rubber industry. And when that fell, then the country is left in, not the country, but the city of Manaus is left in poverty. We did go out to the jungle area, taking a boat down the Amazon. It was another experience, again, living there in poverty. They support themselves by fishing. There was one poor family, the mother is blind. And she insisted last year when our families were there that the next time we come, she was going to prepare the meal. They have no table. They had no dishes. They had no silverware. That morning when we were coming, she gets up at 3 a.m. to go fishing. She's blind. She showed us the scars, not from that day, but previously, where the piranha had attacked her when she was fishing. The husband goes into Manaus. During the week, they had built this table. There was a nice table made out of logs. And he gets silverware and he gets plates. First time, because guests are coming. We took another boat to get to the church, leaving off an evangelist. When we were there, there were 75 evangelists committed to spreading the Word of God. That's that command of, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And then the king will send his servants out, and they go out, and they invite to the church, and the church is full. Again, total poverty. Nothing. You see them washing their clothes on the river, but the children come immaculate. Not fancy or anything, t-shirts, but white. Do they know white on white? In shorts. There was one little boy that was dirty. The whole week I was there, I only met one person who was in dirty clothes. His hair was not shampooed. The hair is always shampooed clean. But he wouldn't come into church. He stood outside the window. Everything is open. No screens, no glass. Big windows, and he stayed outside all during the Mass. I tried to tell him to come in, and very, very shy. They're very shy until they get to meet you. And then once they get to meet you, they don't let go of you. They follow you with their eyes. They want to know where you are, and they want to... So at the offertory, I sneak away on the outside, and I give him $1. Now $1 is worth $2, their money. That dollar was brought in at the offertory. At the leper colony, we met a man without legs, a thought arms and pray with him and bless him and go to the next one. All of a sudden, I see this. How's he walking? He's walking on two little stubs. He's walking, getting his way back to his bed. The youngest was a 22-year-old boy who had been in twice now with leprosy in his left foot. Little by little, the toes begin to fall away. One man without an arm, without a foot, without toes. He had a broken arm, and through the interpreter, we asked the question, how did you break your arm? Well, he had gotten medicine and went back home. In the meantime, his son, who belongs to a gang, had invited the gang into the house, and they were using it for a drop-off place for drugs. They beat up the father and broke his arm because they didn't want him back home. They wanted the house. He was embarrassed to have a father that had leprosy. He was afraid that he'd end up with it, maybe. Like leprosy isn't enough. We go, we have this tremendous privilege to see how people live in this world. It's not our fault. It's not my fault that I was born in Muskegon, Michigan, of a father and a mother who loved me, and a father who worked hard, and there was always food on the table. In the richest country in the world. And it's not their fault that they find themselves born in the Amazon, where there's nothing to eat. Those that live in the jungle survive by picking the wild fruit. It's absolutely awesome what they have, the papaya. And I could see in the market that they had pineapples. I said, I'd like a pineapple, fresh pineapple, picked right off the tree. There's nothing like it. We get the canned pineapple, and we can't afford the fresh pineapple at D&W. It's extremely expensive. I said, how come we can't have pineapple? They said, it's too expensive. I said, oh, it's probably like, why would it be expensive here if it grows here? And so when I got a chance to go to the market, that's the first thing I checked was the price of the pineapple. It was 50 cents. They can't eat it because they don't have the money for the pineapple. They make, if you're working, if you have a job, the teachers would make about $300 or $400 a month. And try to put food on the table. Of course you have to ration it. You can't spend it on pineapple for 50 cents. I come back and I open the scripture for today. Many are called, oh yeah, all over the world. In Africa, they're packing the churches. On the last night we were there, we had a healing mass at the cathedral, because no other church would be big enough. It was bigger than our cathedral, bigger than this. And it was packed with young people, old people too, of course, but mostly young people, just packed with people. The aisles were full. The doors were all open, of course, and the windows. And down the steps, they were all trying to get into the cathedral for the healing mass. It was very similar to ours. The Blessed Sacrament was carried amongst the people, except that they just rushed. All the people on this side would all rush over here to touch the monstrance as the Blessed Sacrament was carried through. Of course there were healings. The faith of the people. The hall is full. Well, it's not full today. When we all come together at one Mass, when we get the 5 o'clock Mass and the 9 o'clock Mass and the 11 o'clock Mass and the 8 o'clock Mass together, we can fill a church. But Jesus said the king is going to walk to greet his guest. Now remember, the word of God is true. He's going to find somebody here. Oh God. He's going to find somebody here without a wedding garment. There's somebody who forgets that we are the wealthy. And they're complaining because they saw somebody with a bigger car. Or they're complaining because they didn't have bacon for breakfast this morning. or because somebody was making noise, because we didn't get a full night's sleep. There's somebody without a wedding garment. And when you hear that word of God, blessed are they who come to the Lord. That many are called, but few are chosen. Our response automatically is, oh God, have mercy upon my soul. How can I make it? He said for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God, it's impossible. It would be like a camel passing through the eye of a needle. But for God, all things are possible. The only one that's going to have trouble making it is the person who says, well, I'm Catholic. I got a right to be here. I'm better than a lot of people. At least I'm going to church. Do you know how many people fulfilled that parable, ignored the invitation, and went their own way, one to their home, another to their work, another one's a checkout, another one is washing cars, another one's working in a department store, another is golfing. It's right there. It has to be according to what Jesus said. But you said yes. And you came. And you helped. You didn't do it, but you helped to begin to fill the hall. But are you in this state of grace? The banquet is the Eucharist. That's what he's talking about. He tells us that somebody's going to go to communion this morning without a wedding garment, without the state of grace. Bind his hands and feet and throw him out into the darkness. To receive the Eucharist means that I'm sorry for every one of my sins. I've confessed them. One father told me, he says, I had to go to communion in mortal sin. I said, what do you mean you had to go? You had a curse come upon you and your family and you had to go? Well, I didn't want my children to think that I committed a sin. Fathers, let me tell you, your children know that you commit a sin. That's no revelation for them. And when you come up and get a blessing on your way home, or even before Mass, you tell them, I won't be able to go to communion today. I didn't get a chance. I think I should go to confession. What's the big deal? All they're going to think is that it was probably when you threw that skateboard off the driveway when you were mad when you couldn't drive right into the garage. Of course, you better get to confession. Why is it that we have to pretend that we're so good and so holy and I wouldn't want anybody to think I can't go to communion? None of us can go to communion unless we cry out, God, I'm not worthy. But I believe your word when you say my sin is forgiven. You want forgiveness for your sin? James 5, confess it. And it's gone. And you walk up saying, you took away my sin. You called me to the banquet. The hall is full and the king is coming to meet his guest. Somebody, I don't know who it's going to be, is without a wedding garment. God, have mercy upon my soul. Help me. Help me. Whoever calls upon me is saved. Ask him. As a result of Manaus, again I make that commitment that I will never, never complain. Imagine Jesus right here, right now. And he says, and you complain? You got a cross? You want to see a cross? I'll show you a cross. See if you can make that commitment. If somehow it can a light go on in your head. I'm an American. They're Americans too. They'd always ask, are you American? I say, you're American. Brazil's in America, you know. Oh yeah, that's right. South America. We're North American. Put in your mind, I'm a North American. I'm a North American. I got it easy. Now the Lord knows that you have a cross. I know that. He knows that. But it's nothing. He's there to help you carry it.
It might be a wife that nags. It might be a husband that drinks. It might be a messy house. It might be teenagers. You got a cross. But I'll never complain. I will never complain.